beginning a new sugya. So we've already said many times that although brachas are with the rabbanim for the most part, very often the details of the brachas are very much patterned after dinim in HaTorah, and this sugya really is going to set the stage for that, because we're about to embark upon a whole series of different sugyas that talk about what's considered to be lechem, both on the level of deraisa as well as on the level of the rabbanim. We spoke a little bit about some of the things in the past, but now we're going to get to a major sugya relating to lechem, and the sugya actually begins in Uchos Challah. After we figure out all the rules for the Chala, then we may have a fighting chance to figure out how it's going to impact the Inuchas Brachas. So the sugi begins on the bottom of Lamed Zayin with Beis. The Gemara tells us, Tani Rabbi Chiya, it's 4 lines from the bottom, Tani Rabbi Chiya, we're going to Braisa, Lecha ba'asim kusach potter min hachala. Lechem that is made for the purposes of kusach. Kusach is a dish. It was like a yogurt dish. The Gemara tells us the Maseches Pesachim had 3 ingredients in it. Each one sounds worse than the other. It was made of partially spoiled milk. It was made of stale bread. It was made of salt. So it's bad for your high blood pressure, bad for your cholesterol, bad just about for everything. But that was like a dip or something that was prevalent in the days of Chazal. Kusach has made it into many, many different areas of halacha. It's discussed in Pesachim first and foremost from the Chometz angle. And it's discussed in Maseches Chulin from the Kashrus angle because of being melechitz. And here the Gemara is talking about it from the Uchas Chala angle. So the lechem that is made for the purposes of this dip is pata from Chala. And the question is, why should that be so? So you take a look at the bottom Rashi. So Rashi writes, lechem ha'asim l'kusach, in ofer oso betanur el b'chama. Rashi explains to us that there's nothing really objectively different about lechem ha'asim l'kusach. It's not because you make it for the purpose of kusach, that's why it's pater. It's just that the reality is the recipe called for bread that was used for this kusach dip was generally not baked in the oven. It was baked in the sun. Why? I don't have a clue about why that should or should not happen. But that's how Rashi explains. That is ultimately the reason why it's butter. So kusach is almost like an afterthought. Kusach is really almost like a trivial, like a really irrelevant piece of information. Kusach is just a way of teaching us this halacha that bread that is ultimately not baked in an oven, rather made in the sun, is going to be potter from challah. So the truth is, this is not a great surprise. This is not like an unbelievable chiddush that we had to wake up in Lamed Zayin Beis in Brachas. We've already mentioned a few times that there are certain criteria to make up lechem. It's important what the ingredients are to make up lechem. Lechem, of course, only comes from the chameshes, meaning dogon, from the 5 species of grains. Lechem has to experience, has to undergo an afiyah. The awful lach lechem b'tanarecha. The Torah speaks about afiyah in the context of lechem. So it's not so surprising that if the halacha requires an afiyah, and afiyah usually has the connotation of afiyah in a fire, in a oven type of a setting, if you're simply baking something in the sun, so that's not considered to be afiyah more return. Not all that different. We find a parallel halacha in Uchos Shabbos, that one of the lamekas halachas being bishul. Bishul b'chama, if you cook something in the sun, that's also not considered to be bishul. So again, this is not like such an earth-shattering halacha. What's interesting is that the Gemara doesn't say a word about Chama here. The Gemara doesn't tell you that there's something different about the actual baking. The Gemara describes it lakusach. Rashi fills in that piece of information. That's ultimately the reason why it's potter. So it's this interpretation of Rashi that raises a very, very serious problem for some Rishonim, based on a fundamental machlokes. This is going to be the first time we're going to talk about this, but hopefully not the last time. This keeps on coming up in the next couple of sugyas. A machlokes that we showed him how to read pshat in a mishnah that appears in Maseches Challah. So let's take a look at the back of those who have the mishnayos of Zeroyim, the back of the Gemara in Maseches Brachos. So let's take a look at mishnayos Maseches Challah. Okay, this is going to become one of the most pivotal of in the Mishnah stuff, in the back of the Gemara, you have the Mishnah's and the Rambam, and in the back, the very, very end of I think it's after the Rambam's Zion. I think it's the theme's further. I think it's in the first. I think it's easier further in. Mishnah is right. Okay, further in. Chalas towards the end is there. right for Bikurim. Right before Bikurim, we got it. Here you go. Greg Aleph. Greg Aleph, one page back. There we go. Okay, good. Okay. So it's the top of Daf Nun Vavam and Aleph, those who have that text in the Gemara. The Aleph Bishnei. So the Mishnah begins to discuss different kinds of doughs, mixtures, quasi breads that are exempt and which are obligated in challah. So the Mishnah begins in Perek Aleph Mishnah Hey, Isa Shetchilasa Sufkinin, Vesofa Sufkinin, Peturim in Hachala. Tchilasa Isa Vesofa Sufkinin, or Tchilasa Sufkinin Vesofa Isa Chayeves Bechala. So the Mishnah is referring to two different types of mixtures of flour and water. One is an Isa, and one is Sufkinin. So an Isa, we pretty much know what an Isa is, that's a dough. Sufganin, I guess the word that we would most associate that with sufganiyot, so something which is not quite a regular bread dough, but we're still not exactly sure what it is. So what is the Mishnah talking about, and what are these two different procedures called tchila versus sof? The Mishnah somehow says that there's a tchila process and a sof process. So, you know, Beinu Tam is quoted in both by the Rash, the Mishnah is here, and tells another place in Shas, quotes from Beinu Tam's version of this Mishnah. This is going to set the stage for our discussion. Rabbi Natan understood that the two procedures that the Mishnah is referring to, the Tchila and the Sof, correspond to the two different critical procedures in terms of normal making of bread. There is the kneading of the dough, the Shas Felisha, that's obviously stage number one, and stage number two is the Shas Afiyah, the actual baking itself. What the Mishnah is driving at, according to Rabbi Natan, is as follows, that when you have an Isa, and it's Tchilosa Isa. That means it started out as an Isa. What does that mean, it started out as an Isa? It means the kneading of the dough was done in a regular manner. It was done like any other... Is this still not even...
The red light's on.
Oh, it's all good. Okay. It means it was prepared like any other bread. The making of the dough was done in a normal fashion. What does that mean, making the dough done in a normal fashion? Explains to Rabbeinu Tam. It means it was a thick dough, in contrast to a thin, pourable batter. That's the Tchilas Isa of Rabbeinu Tam. So what the Mishnah is saying is that once it was Tchilas Isa, once it started off as a hard, thick bread, matzah kind of a dough, even though Sofa Sufkinin, what does Sofa mean? Sofa is the second part of the process. That's the baking. The baking actually never really happened. Rather than baking it, you treat it like Sufkinin, like Sufganiyot. You cooked it, you deep fried it, you put it into some kind of a liquid, rather than putting it directly into the fire. So basically, what the Mishnah is describing, according to Rabbeinu Tam, is, for a really good modern-day equivalent, it's a thick dough that was either cooked or deep fried. We can call it, for our purposes, a donut. That's exactly what the Mishnah is describing.
Bagel.
Oh, so bagel is tricky. Because a bagel is correctly, you are correct that it is thick dough, cooked, but then it's rebaked. So it parts ways with the donut. Okay? So we're going to focus on the donut for a second. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, the Mishnah is basically describing a donut. Then you have the thick dough, it's thrown into a big pot of water, or in the case of a donut, to a big pot of oil. That's chilosa isa v'sofa sufkinin. And what is the Mishnah saying about that? So the Mishnah says, chayaves, such a process would be chayav in challah. What do you see from Rabbeinu Tam? That in order to be chayav in challah, you don't have to have two bread processes. You only have to have one of the two processes, and even if that one process is the earlier one, that is sufficient to be chayav in challah min haTorah. That is a pshat in the Mishnah. Why should that be so? What's pshat in Rabbeinu Tam? L'chora, one can understand Rabbeinu Tam in one of two ways. Either one can understand what Rabbeinu Tam is saying is that the magic word in terms of being chayav and challah is what? What's the key word in terms of being chayav and challah? Lechem. Oh, that's the other key word. It's lechem. V'hoya ba'acholchem lechem aretz. The Torah introduces us by Shishlach. V'hoya ba'acholchem lechem aretz tarim terumah l'Hashem. So if it ain't lechem, it's not chayav and challah. So by Rabbeinu Tam telling us that chiloso isa v'sofa sufkinin is chayav and challah, but Rabbeinu Tam basically just told us is that you thought that baking was so important to be chayav and challah? Guess what? You're wrong. It's not true. Something can become chayav and challah, can become a shem lechem on it, even without ever seeing the inside of an oven. Because if it started out, if its lisha was as a lechem form, that is sufficient to be chal on it, a shem lechem. That's one way of understanding the Rabbeinu Tam. But now Dan is going to tell me the other. Listen, I stole your pshat. So now tell me the other pshat. That has nothing to do with lechem.
I think it has to do with the constitution of the dough itself.
Oh, why? Because what's the other magic word in the Chumash? Reishis Ari Soseichem, which means an Isa. It could be that we totally misunderstood the Rabbeinu Tam. It could be that if the halacha would require a shem lechem to be chayav and chala, then a donut would fall short because it can only become lechem when it experiences an afiyah. The fact that a donut, the fact that a blila avash and is bashla is chayavas and chala, that is precisely because there is no din of lechem when it comes to chala. It can be chayav and chal even without being called lechem because all it needs is reishis arisa seichem. It has to be an Isa or an Arisa, the Torah word for it, we call today an Isa. An Isa itself is a separate, independent Mechayev and Chal. So we're not quite sure what Rabbeinu Tam said. We know the facts that Rabbeinu Tam said. We know that he told us that Blila Ova without Afiyah is Chayev Simchal in the Torah. That we know for a fact. That's his pshat in the Mishnah. But we can't quite pinpoint why Rabbeinu Tam what he said. Did he say it because he had a new understanding of Lechem, in a sense, minimizing the significance of the Ma'is Afiyah? Did Rabbeinu Tam say no? That just because it's not called lechem, that's also okay. Arisa Sechem is an independent mechayev. It almost boils down to two ways of reading a pasuk in Chumash. If you take a look, I should be able to say about pen is my mitzvah parasha. We'll just take a look. So, anyway, just to cover ourselves. So I'll just quickly read you the main psukim that are relevant in terms of understanding this issue of Rabbeinu Tam. The pasuk says, "V'haya ba'chol chemi lechem ha'aretz terim usurma l'Hashem." Reishis arisoseichem chalat terim usurma, because Shubah is going to terim osa. So when pasuk Yitess, the pasuk speaks about lechem, and the pasuk Chaf, the Torah speaks about Isa. So how do you understand the Tupsukim? One could understand it one of two ways. Either one could understand that both conditions have to be present in order to be chayav and chala. And if that's the pshat, then Rabbeinu Tam is telling you that lechem is fulfilled with the dough alone, or maybe the pasuk is saying either or is chayav and chala. There's a mechayav and chala of lechem, and there's a mechayav chala of isa. And if you have a blila ova, you've met the criteria of isa, even though you are in fact coming up short in terms of lechem. So it's unclear what Rabbeinu Tam said. My nafkamina. Does it really make any difference? Can anyone think of nafkamina ladina, whether Rabbeinu Tam is up to zohar, is up to zohar? Who cares whether the mechayev of the blila ova is b'taras lechem or b'taras isa? We should throw up a test case. Let's look for another area of halacha where maybe isa is not so important. Maybe lechem is pretty important, and see what would Rabbeinu Tam say about such a thing. What's a good area of halacha? It would be a good test case for Rabbeinu Tam. Where lechem is very important, isa is significantly less important. For him, Masechet Brachos. Hamotzi lechem in aretz. I have a food in front of me, and I want to know, Rabbi, can I make hamotzi lechem in aretz on it? It underwent a thick dough, but it never quite saw the inside of an oven. What would Rabbeinu Tam say about that? So the Mishnah says, chayav and chala. Rabbeinu Tam explained, that means a donut, that means a blue lava shit is bashla. What would Rabbeinu Tam say in terms of Ruchas Brachas? Would we say that Rabbeinu Tam would say, Enoch Anam Yitach would recite a brach of Hamotzi on it, because it has a Shem Lechem on it, like one side of the Chakira? Or would we say no, that even Rabbeinu Tam would concede, there's no way you can make Hamotzi on it, Isa it is, Chai V'chal it is, but Hamotzi it's not. So if we take a look at a Tosfos on Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis on the back of our Daf. So let's take a look at Tosfos Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. We're going to pick it up in the middle of the Tosfos. The whole meaning, it's three lines into the Tosfos. The bottom toast, lechem also is kusach. Because shahom rinam b'maseches chala, kol shet chilasa isa v'sof v'suftirim chayavin b'chala. Kol shet chilasa suftirim v'sof isa chayavin am b'chala. We're going to leave that out for now. Kol shet chilasa suftirim v'sof adam suftirim potim b'chala. Pasuk Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam paskin based on that Mishnah. Im kein b'nivlish v'rishalish Detchilosan Isa, Mivarchen Alein Hamotzi, Vachayavin Bechala. I forgot the Sofa Tzufkirin. So Benatam commented about certain kinds of food from a prophet to this day that met those criteria. If Benatam was writing today, he would talk about donuts, but we're talking about the Nivlish and the Rishalishes that are thick doughs that were subsequently cooked. Benatam said, absolutely chayav in challah. But now look, read Benatam carefully. Mitchilo hayaratzalam Benatam, originally Benatam used to say, the davka chayav in challah. The mitzvah schala ba'odan isa, the chsiv arisa seichem, v'hoz shahoyu mitchila isa, chayav in b'chala. Aval min amotzi p'turim, the ashev heim tzufkinin. What did Rabbi Natan used to say in his youth, in his old days? Rabbi Natan used to say in his early years that, yes, these kinds of foods are chayav in b'chala, because chala is a function of the magic word isa, but no, these foods are not hamotzi, because push comes to shove, they're not called lechem. That was in the Friya Dikadosh. That was the early days, Rabbi Natan said. And what Rabbi Natan said in his later years, he said, no, that you make hamotzi on the nivlish and the rishalishes, because if it's chayv and chala, it must be, not isa, but it must be it's chala on a shem lechem. If it's a shem lechem, then it's lechem for hamotzi as well. So our chakira, our suffix within Rabbi Natan was, believe it or not, Rabbi Natan himself. Rabbi Natan changed his mind. In the early years, he thought one way, and then he turned around, and he said something else. So, hopefully we can get back to this Tosfos at a later sugya, but just for our purposes in terms of Tosfos Chala, let's just recap what we have. We know for a fact, thick dough, cooked, chayv and chala. We're not sure why Rabbi Natan said it. Chaps enough to mean in terms of Bechus Brachos.
Why can't you be mechalik, not even looking at the word Aris and Seichem, to simply say that chala, the chiyuv is novea you have to do it before you know what it's going to be ultimately. Meaning, even if your machshava is,
oh, you're.
As opposed to motzi, you already know what it is. So in other words, it's not a din in the exact puzzle. It's a din in the fact that you, at the time that you're being mafresh, you have dough in front of you, which could potentially become a.
Okay. So we're going to. I hear totally what you're saying. We're going to have to put that a little bit on hold. We're going to come back to Rabbi Natan in future sukkahs, not all that long from now. And we're going to try to flesh out this Rabbi Natan a little bit more in terms of some of the arguments that he was making. But I want to just focus back here for a second. We identify Rabbi Natan Shita. We know what he said in terms of Chala. And now, let's begin to plug in this Rabbi Natan into our Gemara. So what did our Gemara say? Our Gemara said, Lech Ma'as L'Kuzuch Pat Min Chala. What did Rashi say? How did Rashi translate Lech Ma'as L'Kuzuch Pat Min Chala? Because it never saw the what?
Also,
never saw another. That's the reason why it's potter. What do you think Rabbi Natan would say about that? Could Rabbi Natan possibly buy into his grandfather's pshat?
No.
No way. In a million years, no. Why? Because
it's function of the dough.
Who cares that it's thrown oven? My nafkamina. Says, what's the difference between preparing it in the sun or putting it into a pot of water? It's all the same thing. According to Rabbi Natan, it was already chayav long ago. It was already chayav from the time of the Isa. So this is not my kasha, this is Tarzis kasha. Now we go back to the beginning of the toast that we read. That would be the first two lines that we skipped. So lechem asle kutsa pata b'nechala. We'll skip the first three words. Pirush Rashi, Isa shemiyav shemechama. V'kosha, it's a kasha. And then he goes on to quote Rabbi Natan. According to Rabbi Natan's pshat, what is going on lechem asle kusach? How in the world can lechem asle kusach be potter? Why is it any worse than chilasle isa v'sofa sufkirin? Why is it worse than a donut? That's Tosfos Kasha against the Rabbi Natan. Do we have any possible answers for this? Do we want to stick to Rashi's pshat and still attempt an answer? Or maybe we want to veer off of Rashi's pshat entirely? We made an assumption in our Kasha. Tosfos made an assumption. Tosfos said, after all, it's a thick dough that's being put into the sun.
I don't know it's thick.
Who told us that it's thick? What leads us to believe that's a thick dough? There's a word here that leads us to believe it's probably a thick dough.
Lechem.
Yeah, lechem. It's a lechem also the kusach. If it's not a thick dough, and it's not being put into an oven, so that's a pretty poor way of describing what it is. It doesn't have any characteristics of lechem, so why call it a lechem also the kusach? So it sounds for the Pashas, many of the Rishonim are learning, but that's Rashi. Of course it's a thick dough. That's a given that it's a thick dough. So im kein, the mon of shach. If it's not a thick dough, why is it called lechem osu lekusach? If it is a thick dough, so then why is it part of the challah? After all, according to Rabbi Tam, it's chayv and challah from the very beginning. Either mitam lech, mitam isa. So the chora, Rabbi Tam is going to have to search for an alternate pshat in lechem osu lekusach. Do we have any other options for what lechem osu lekusach is all about? So let's take a look. I think I put the Ritva. I send the Ritva to the Mamkos. I think it was on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think it was on our sugya, the Famadzan Rebbeis. It says the page from Chesim and Aleph. It was Ika di Amri, Lechem Asu Kusach, the Ritva. Listen to the Ritva says, Perish Lechem Ha'asoi Lite Bemurias. What is the Ritva, first thing the Ritva is addressing?
What kind of lechem is it?
He's saying that, who said you prepared it any differently? Who said a word about not being baked? What if the Gemara wanted to talk about not being baked, they would have called it lechem ha-nefa b'chama, not lechem ha-nefa b'tamar. What is lechem ha-os l'kusach addressing?
It's use.
What's the use is? Almost like what Eyud thought, so what's your intention? Why are you making this bread for? So the answer is, you're making this bread for a dip, for a kusach, like Chazal described. It's got other stuff in it, the murias, other kind of chazarai that's been used for. But what are you not doing with this bread? You're basically not eating the bread as bread. You're not sitting and washing and having a meal, making a sandwich out of this. You're using it some kind of a part of some other kind of a dip. If you're reading B'Samach, Ritva continues. Lechem ha'ofel l'kusach patur min ha'challah. And listen to this. She'af al-pi she'yesh bo gilgul v'isa m'chayev es b'shaz gilgul. Who is the Ritva alluding to? Rabbi Natan to tell us and say, even though it had gilgul, gilgul means a v'lila ofel, it means a thick dough. And everybody knows that chiv chal isa begins b'shaz gilgul. Guess what? This is patur. You know why? Kevin shu'nase al-dash lo'lecho b'menu patur min ha'challah. Because there's nothing physically different about the baking of this bread. What is different about this bread is what your plan was. And your plan wasn't to eat it, and therefore it's patur from challah. That is pshat. If that's pshat, then this has absolutely no impact on Rabbi Natan. But man, devar mamur, Rabbi Natan said that you can create a chiyuv challah, bishasa isa. That's if the whole issue is, did you have a process of bread making or not? So before Rabbi Natan, I thought bread making involved baking. Comes Rabbi Natan and says, no, not necessarily. You can have bread making even with Isa alone. So when the deficiency is in terms of the bread making process, so Rabbi Natan is machadish, even though what it's lacking in terms of baking, but it's making that up in terms of thick dough. But if the deficiency is based on something totally different, namely, there's some intent here. This is not edible. I mean, it's not literally inedible, but the goal is not to eat it. That's a different patur of the gavrei. That's a totally different patur. And bread that's not made for the purpose of eating is not chayev im chal. Where in the world do you think the Ritva got this idea from? What? Where is this based on? Bishteit, anywhere in the Torah, that the bread has to be for the purpose of eating. What's the answer? It's beferish. Vahaya. So the Ritva is clearly relying on that pasuk and learning that lechem also the kusach is not potter because it's lacking in the shem lechem, like Rashi seemed to say. The reason why it's potter, it has a full-fledged shem lechem, and it's still potter. You know what's potter? Because it's not a lechem shel achila. Even though it's going to be consumed in your dip, that's not called achilas lechem. That's called dipping, that's called making a spread, so that's called making a kusach dip. Lechem means inipateris, bread. It's a legamri different halacha, and this has absolutely zero relevance to Rabbi Natan. So it could be that Rabbi Natan held like this Ritva. Rabbi Natan learned pshat like this Ritva. But this is quite a chiddush. This is really, really quite a chiddush, because the Gemara never says anything about it. The Gemara never even tells us why it's potter. The Gemara just says very flippantly, lech was a potter finished. So Rashi is learning that the process is different, and the Ritva is learning that the intent of achila is lacking. With all the difficulties in Rashi, again, Rashi is only difficult to behold like Rabbi Natan. Other Rishonim had different pshat than that Mishnah, so weren't bothered with Rabbi Natan's kasha. But with all the questions that we had on Rashi's pshat, and it doesn't seem to fit into the words of Lech Masel Kusach, and it's running into problems for Beit Adam, there's a certain comfort level with Rashi's pshat. What's the comfort level? He's not introducing to us a brand new concept. We already know that a fee is potentially important. We already gave a marshal by Bishop Bechama and Shabbos. We already know what the marshal speaks in talking about frying pans instead of ovens. We spoke a little bit about that. So we know that the processes that are done, the Elisha process, the fee process, are potentially significant. So we got that. I understand that. But the Ritva is really in a totally different world. Ritva is introducing us a brand new concept that you can have something that's made exactly like bread. It's kneaded like bread. It's baked like bread. It looks like bread. And then at some point, you break into a little piece and put it into a dip, and all of a sudden, it never was chayav and chal in the first place because your intent was not derech achila. That's a brand new concept. So the chora, it behooves the Ritva to bring us a little bit of a proof, to tell us a little bit where to get this idea from. So the Ritva does tell us, but doesn't tell us in this particular piece. So if you...
With soup nuts.
Oh, okay, these are opening up potential shilas of bagel chips and soup nuts and tiles and all these kind of... Okay. So we're opening up a whole new world here, potentially. So there is a Ritva, and it's my mistake, I should have put the second Ritva on the Ma'amar Kosher, I only put the first one on, but it's actually a Ritva, not in the Chedusha Ritva itself, in the... Where's that funny? So in the back of the Ritva, Masechet Brachos, is printed the Ritva's Hilchos Brachos. Ritva wrote almost like summaries in Piskei Halacha in Inyan of Brachos. I'll just read it out to you. It's in, those who want to take a look afterwards, it's in Perek Rishon, Oslamed Beis. It's in the back of the Ritva. So he says, almost verbatim what he says in the Chedushim, but he adds the critical piece that's missing. So the Ritva's Losh, Lecha ba'as l'kutz v'vad, Eino chai b'chala, Afa pi shahay v'o gilgul. Same as he said in the Chedushim, because it had Gilgul, it's still potter. Lefi, Shekol shel nasa lemaichel adam, anything that wasn't done for the purposes of human food, eino chai b'chala, api shayin lo Gilgul. But now he gives you his example. Kegon isas haklovim, she'ein haroim ochel mimena. Just for example, Isas haklovim, a dough that was made for the purposes of feeding it to the dogs, a dough that the shepherds are not going to eat. No humans can eat it. It's made specifically only for the purposes of dogs. Was it made as a dough? Absolutely. Was it baked in an oven? Absolutely. What's the din? Chayv and chala, pot and chala? Let's take a look at the Mishnayos back in Maseches Chala for a moment. Let's jump back to Maseches Chala. It's the same page Nun Vav that we had before. Pull it back before the We did the Gemara's in so many different ways, and you never know what the way it used to be. It's still full. It's still full. It's
still early. It's still
early. There you go. Yeah, before we had to drop more time. It's Perek Aleph, Mishnah Ches. There you go. One page back, I get to go.
Yeah.
Okay, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Ches. Okay? Pekal Mishnah Ches. Isas HaKlovim. You made a dough to feed to your dogs. Bizman Shaharoim Ochlimimena, if the shepherds are also going to eat it, so that means it's not just for dogs, it's for human consumption also, then Chayevis Bechala. And then you can skip down a little bit, and then the Mishnah says a couple of lines further, Vim Eina Roim Ochlimimena, Eina Chayevis Bechala. If the shepherds are not going to eat it, then it's Pata from Chala. So what did the Ritva discover in this Mishnah? Says the Ritva, there's a new Torah out there, a new Torah. for is called not made for the purpose of human consumption, and that is potter from a first chala as an independent p'tor, and it doesn't make the slightest bit of difference how it was made. It was made as a thick dough in the oven, though everything looks like a regular piece of bread. If your kavanah was different, it's potter b'chala. So the Ritva, based on this Mishnah, is willing to, in a sense, defend Rabbeinu Tam, that even though Rabbeinu Tam holds that he lost the east of himself, the sufkin is chayav and chala, lechem also the kusach is potter, not like Rashi said, because it was never baked, that's not the reason why that would not be a potter, but the potter is because of not their chachila, and the source in Chazal for this idea of lutzer chachila is this Mishnah, and again, the source in Chumash is clearly the word ba'achal chad lechem aron.
Isn't the
Mishnah
talking about, even according to
Ravi,
isn't it talking about quality of the food?
Not necessarily. It means you're learning Pshat. I want to put in the Rishami that says that the Isis HaKlav means it's made like in a garbage kind of a way, like the only dogs would eat it.
And then
the
other, in a raw way.
Yeah, and the other day in the Gemara in the Rishami, what we assume is that no, it's the same bread. Identical bread. But it's in a raw way. It's just made for the dogs. Identical bread.
That
doesn't mean that it's not edible. It just means that the shepherds got better food. Shepherds are eating bagels. They're not eating dog bread.
But the Ritva is applying it to arkei, the kutah.
Right.
That's edible.
Oh, so the Ritva is an unbelievable jump. Because the Ritva is saying that the din achila is a poter from, the din achila's adam is a poter from things that are not going to be eaten by people. And even if they're going to be, I guess for lack of a better term, ingested by people, they're not eaten by people. Means lechmas lekusach makes it down into the esophagus, down to the stomach, but that's not called achilas lechem. That's called eating it at, I don't want to use the word eating, but that's called consuming it as part of a dip, and that's not really called achilas lechem. Right. It's a big jump in the Ritva. Rabbi Sai, why do you think other Rishonim didn't go down the Ritva's route? Why do you think Rashi didn't go down the Ritva's route? Why do you think Rashi almost went out of his way to give an alternative shot? To say lechmas lekusach doesn't really mean lekusach. Lekusach is not really important. Lekusach is just a way of describing an unbaked bread. You get the impression also from Rashi that Rashi doesn't buy into this halacha of b'cholchem lechmas. No such thing. No such halacha. Doesn't exist. Maybe it doesn't exist. So it's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says itzas haplavim. What's pshat? So the chomer the Ritva's pshat is muchach from the Mishnah. That there is such a new halacha called it has to be made for achila purposes. It's not just important the process, but the purpose, the intent is important. How did Rashi understand the Mishnah? So we don't have Rashi's parish on the Mishnah in Masechet Challah, but we have the good luck of that the Gemara in Beitza quotes this Mishnah in a totally different context, and Rashi there has something to say. Let's take a look here from the Gemara in Masechet Beitza. Let's get an insight from Rashi, what Rashi does say about this Mishnah, and see why perhaps the Rashi in Brachah is very much the Shittasa. One dates on Daf Chaf Aleph and Aleph, am I mistaken? Yeah, Chaf Aleph and Aleph. But you write smack in the middle of the page, the first one in the line is Belisha. Right, I'm just in the middle of the page. First one is Belisha. Masir of Chal Barachini, line. Isas klovim, bizman sheron ochlim men chayos bechal. That's all we need for our purposes. So Rashi says, why is it that if the roim are eating it, it's chayav and chala? So look at Rashi. It's up about 15 lines or so up in the Rashis. But chayav is bechal. The first one's lines is chayav. So Rashi, the lechem karina bay. If the roim are eating it, das is lechem. If the roim are not eating it, das is nishken lechem. That's not called lechem. I come to Rashi. What word did Rashi not emphasize? What word did the Ritva emphasize that Rashi ignored? According to the Ritva, why is Isis HaKlavim Potter? Because it's felt in what? It's chaser in what? It's lacking in achila. It's not an achila. That's the name of the game. You have to have an achila. Achila is klav, nishken achila. According to Rashi, it's not a function of achila. It's a function of milechem aretz. The Torah says it has to be called lechem. And what is Rashi telling us? The Chiddush Gadol, Rashi telling us that when you look up in the dictionary, the word lechem, lechem doesn't just mean flour and water baked in an oven. It means flour and water baked in an oven for a human being. And if it's not made for a human being, that's just a mush of flour and water in an oven. That's not lechem. Lechem has a much higher kilo lechem v'ad yichya adam, not yichya behema. If it's just made for animals, that's not called lechem. That's not identical to the Ritva. Rabbi, if Rashi's pshat is right, that the chisorim in Isas HaKlovim is not a chisorim in Huchas HaChila, but rather it's a chisorim in the Chefza. Here's a good word to say, time to say the word Chefza. It's a chisorim in the Shem Chefza of Lechem. Do we understand where Rashi would not have been willing to carry that over to Lechem Asa L'Kusach if the Ritva's pshat was right? Why? According to Rashi, what makes something Lechem? There's only one factor. What is it? Eaten by a human being. Eating is not really important. It's not the eating that's important. It's the chefz of lechem means human. Human needs, that's called lechem. Animal needs are not called lechem. They're called dog food. They're not called lechem. If a human being eats the lechem, also the kusach, I don't care, says Rashi, whether he eats it as a sandwich or whether he eats it in his dip. In the end of the day, it's lechem for people. It's a person's needs. And therefore, according to Rashi, that the mafkia, the plater of Isas HaKlovim, is a chisorin, the chefz of lechem, that will not carry over to lechem also the kusach of dips. And therefore, Rashi is looking at Agamar and Brachat of Lamedzayin and saying, so taka, why is it potter? So the answer, says Rashi, because you mistranslated what lechem also the kusach means. There is no p'tur because it's not being eaten in a normal fashion. Vishtei the p'tur. The p'tur that the Ritva made up, that's not what the Isas HaKlovim is. So therefore, Rashi is in the corner. Rashi says, "Taka, why is it potter?" So Rashi, the Shitosa and Beitza had to come up with a whole different p'tor, and he came up with the p'tor. You know what the p'tor was? The p'tor was, hey, it was never baked. Whereas the Rabbi Natan and the Ritva, who would never ever buy into that p'tor because they hold that it never has to be baked in the first place, they were free to learn that there's a special p'tor called achila, and achila is a p'tor if it's eaten by dogs, and achila is a p'tor if it's dipped as a dip and never really eaten as a sandwich.
Then Rashi's chalik on himself because the Gemara calls it lechem. Right? Like we said at the beginning,
correct. Right. So we're saying colloquially we're calling it lechem also the kusach. Because, well,
it seems
well,
to be very imprecise.
Well. According to Rashi, according to Rashi, it's not a stira. According to Rashi, it's okay that's called lechem because it's going to be consumed by human beings. The only thing you would never call lechem is bread made for dogs. It's which Tacha doesn't, because the Isas HaKlovim, Tacha doesn't call lechem.
It's hard to believe that there's no physical difference between lechem, klovim, which the shepherds would eat, and the mutton.
Oh, so because you're holding it through one day in the Rishami. That you are correct. There's one opinion in the Rishami that says that can't be. There must be in one place you're putting in the bran, not putting in the bran. The other day it says, no, doesn't matter. There's no difference. It's the same bread. It all depends on is the shepherd eating or not eating. That's all. Same identical.
Rashi's not saying along those lines when he says that one is considered the roi lachila. He doesn't use the term roi.
He doesn't
say
really
what he's saying.
But he doesn't say. Rashi says one word, the lechem. That's all he said. He left out, according to the Ritva, he left out the punchline. So it comes out, Rabbi said, what we have developing in front of our very eyes are two fundamentally different approaches in Rishonim to this entire picture, this entire package of what's going on. We have this whole bunch of different things floating around at a potter. We have Lechem Asa L'Kusach potter, we have Isas HaKlovim potter, and we have the Ritva, and by extension, Rabbi Natan, who was saying it's the same potter. It's the exact same potter. They're both examples of lacking achila. Whereas Rashi would say, no, there is no din of lacking achila. The two potter are different potter. They're two different halachas. One's a p'tor because it's not called lechem. One's a p'tor because it was never baked. So they're two different p'tor, legamri. So you have two very, very different pictures in the Rishon. And again, everything is hinging on this Isas HaKlovim. The bottom line is it all hinging on how we're trying this Mishnah. Is the potter of Isas HaKlovim a p'tor from the Shem Lechem, like Rashi? Or is the potter from lack of achila, like the Ritva? So Rabbi say, let's see if we can be machriya. Let's see if we can try to bring a raya from Mishnah itself to whether the poter is ultimately a chisard in lechem or the poter is ultimately a chisard in achila. We don't have to even bother going back. You can either look at it in Beitza Chafalaf if your Beitzas are open, or you can look at it in the Mishnah. It's the same thing. We're going to read it together. It's the same thing. So both of them on the rope. We'll read it from the Mishnah from the one Beitza Chafalaf. Okay, so back to Beitza Chafalaf for a minute. Let's read through this entire Mishnah of Isak Lovim and maybe we can get a sense from the Mishnah itself which pshat we understand better. So Isas HaKlovim, back to the Nulag Market, Isas HaKlovim. There's man shero and ochlu yimena chayev espechala. That part we know. But the Mishnah continues. Arvin ba, umishtatfin ba, umivorchen aleha, umizamnin aleha, v'nafes biyomtif, V'yadam yetzim v'yidei chavasa v'pesach. We thought we were just learning Maseches Challah. Then all of a sudden we got a list a mile long of 600 nafkaminas. If the Roam eat it, then the following halakhas are true. Not only is it chayv and challah, you could use it for an erev chatzeres, and you could use it for shituf and mavruos, and other chayv and erev will leave out for now. You could make hamotzi on, you could bench on it, you could bake it on Yom Tif, and you could be yaitzei malza with it. That's assuming that the Roam eat it. If the Roam don't eat it, then none of the above applies. So, I don't want to go through each one of these cases right now. For our purposes, let's just focus on the last one, the case of matzah. The baking on Yom is a totally different issue. That has to do because you're not allowed to bake for animals. You're not allowed to cook for animals and you're only for people. So if the Roam are eating it, that's both cooking for people. If the Roam are not eating it, it's both cooking for animals. But again, that's not relevant for us right now. I want to focus on the last din, the din of, can you use this for matzah? Assuming that you made it not covered, it's made it for matzah. So the Mishnah tells us a startling din. You bake your matzahs, and you bake your matzah specifically, you're going to feed these matzahs to the dogs. You were not planning on eating these matzahs. So what does the Mishnah say? You can't be a tichlis matzah with these matzahs. But if when you made them also to feed the shepherds, then it's okay. If they were made matzah, they're not chametz, it's not for them, you can be a tichlis matzah with them. Do we understand this thing?
But he doesn't make a shemitzah matzah.
You're already the Rambam. It's not fair, you're already jumping the gun in the Rambam. I'm just reading the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that seemingly just as there's a din that Isas HaKlovim, if it's not being fed to the shepherds, so it's plucked from Challah, so too you can't be Yotzei Matzah with it. That's the equation that the Mishnah says. The Mishnah's lumping it into one statement. If you're going to feed the shepherds, then great, then it's Chayav Challah and Yotzei Matzah, not. So I want to understand why is that Matzah part true. So in order to understand why the Matzah part is true, we have to chazer for a second. Well, why was the challah part true? Why was it part from challah in the first place? Let's chazer for a second. According to Rashi, why is it part from challah? Because it didn't meet the criteria called lecha. So then it's no brainer why it can't be yotzei matzah. Because in order to be yotzei matzah, it has to be lechem oni. And if it's not lechem, it's kind of hard to be lechem oni. So according to Rashi, the Mishnah reads like a charm. What the Mishnah is basically telling us is lechem does not just mean flour, water, oven, baking, etc. It means human goal. Humans got to be at the end. That's the end game. To be fed to a human, everything focusing on human beings. Therefore, it doesn't have a shame lechem if it's not being made for a human. Therefore, you're not having challah, and by extension, you can't be yetzim as. But Rabbi say, according to the Ritva's pshat, who said the extension of the Ritva is an effective many times pshat, that the reason why you're not chayav in challah is because it's lacking what? It's not done for achila purposes. I want to know, how do you know it has to be done for achila purposes for matzah also?
Bala matzah, you're not yotzei. Matzah is a mitzvah achila. If you're bala matzah,
it happens to be bala matzah, you are yotzei. But you're right, there's a mitzvah achila, that is true. You need achila, but it's still a big chiddush to say that it's not called matzah unless it was made for achila. It's a big chiddush. Maybe you're right. Maybe that's true. So, according to Rashi, the Mishnah reads like a charm because it's basically the same halacha. It means the same way that you potter for challah because it's not called a lechem, because lechem has been redefined to mean humans. So matzah also, it's not called lechem, it's not called lechem, and you're not yotzei. But according to the Ritva'an Rabbi Nathan, that's not the reason why you're not yotze. The reason why you're not yotze is because it's lacking behind b'acholchem. You lack in the arts, but b'acholchem is the poter. Why does that poter automatically carry over to matzah? So one can either go down Eud's route and say, yeah, there must be some drash here, but if tochel matzah, it's got to be l'shem achil or something like that. Or maybe you don't have to go that far. Maybe we don't have to, pull Xerus Kassos out of a hat. Maybe we can fall back on something that we've spoken about a little bit in the past. Many, many, many of the details of matzah and challah are actually related to one another because there is a gzeir shava, there is a comparison between the two. The Torah uses the phrase lechem by challah and uses the word lechem by matzah. But take, for example, the Gemara in the Sefer Brechem and Sefer Pesachim tells us that if a person has what's called a isa shel maisa sheni, a person has a wheat that came from maisa sheni grain, and he turns it into a, he grinds it up, makes it into a loaf of bread, or makes it into a piece of matzah. Now he wants to know, and he's in Yerushalayim, he's eating a Kabbalah, B'Kedusha B'Tahara. And he wants to know, am I chayav in a fresh chal on it? He wants to know, Rabbi, can I have a yotzei matzah with it? So the Gemara says, depends, not so simple. The Gemara says that according to Rabbi Meir Shita, Ma'aseh Sheni Mamun Gavoa, the Ma'aseh Sheni is not really yours in the full sense of the word, whatever that means. Ma'aseh Sheni Mamun Gavoa. And the Gemara says, and therefore you can't be yotzei, you're not chayav in chal. You know why? Because chal, it says, Reishis Ariso Seichem. So the Gemara says, and just like you're not yotzei, something just as you're not chayav in chal, you can't be yotzei matzah with it. So anyone remember the Gemara's Kasha? Emsachim, second parak. Yes, the Gemara, wait a second. By chal, I understand. Ariso Seichem means that your has to belong to you and my Sechenimim Gavoa. But by matzah, miksiv matzaschem? It doesn't say, Erev Tochum matzaschem. There's no din of lachem. Lachem by lulav. There's no din of lachem by matzah. So what's the problem with my Sechenimim? So the Gemara answers, because they were shava, lechem, lechem. Just as lechem to challah requires to be, or it has to belong to you, and if it's my sashenim, it's not yours, so to my matzah, it has to belong to you as well. So we already have precedent for certain comparisons, certain carrying over of halachas from challah to matzah and vice versa. So maybe that's part of this picture also. Maybe the reason why the Mishnah says that Isa's eklavim is potter from challah, and the reason why you're not yetzi matzah is all the same thing. It all emanates from the din of achila, and the din of achila is part of this zerushava, part of this package in chalavatza. So we can salvage it. Bein lufi Rashi, bein lufi Rabbi Natan, the Ritva. We're still good to go. We haven't proven anything one way or another. But maybe we missed the entire boat. Maybe there's a whole nother reason why one is not yaitzei the mitzvah of matzah with it. If maybe someone could just bring me a Rambam in Uchas Matzah, Rambam there. You know, matzah. I didn't put the fat because Rambam the Rambam comes. I don't think I put it on. Then man, per vav alocha hay. So again, so we're trying to figure out why is it that a person is not yaitse with isas ha-klovim. Right, so we're saying, according to Rashi, it's some kind of chisaron in lechem. According to the Ritva, it's some kind of chisaron in achil, and that's derived from Zeru Shabbat, whole story. So comes the Rambam, in Perek Vav, Alok Eidech, Chomitz Matzah, and addresses this question also, and gives an entirely different answer, nothing to do with what we've said, exactly what Natan said. Isas HaKlovim, Bizman Sharon Ochlu Mimena, Yaitzibay dechavasa, the state of the Mishnah. Ein harom ochum imena. Ein o yotzeba. And we're waiting with bated breath. Why ein o yotzeba? Is the Rambam going to side with Rashi that it's not called lechem? Is the Rambam going to commit himself to the Ritva and Rabbi Natan? That's a chisar and achila. Look, the Rambam, ein harom ochum imena, ein o yotzeba. She ein zoi mishumeres l'shei matzah. I felt it's a chisar in the shmirish above. That's not called shomor, that's not called shmur l'shei matzah. Since it was made with the wrong intention, you cannot possibly be yaitzei the mitzvah. It's a chisaron in the shmur shomor. So the Rambam seems to be mamash in left field, away from anything and everything we've been talking about. What's also interesting, according to the Rambam, is that the dinim and the mishnah are not parallel to one another. They have nothing to do with each other. The reason why it's patur m'chal is we have no idea. But the reason why you're not yet matzah is for a different reason. According to Bein Rashi, Bein the Ritva, it's the same reason. So this Rambam is a quite startling Rambam. It has to be really understood on its own merits. Hopefully, next year we're going to talk a little bit more about the Rambam next week. But just to recap what we're up to, we started out with a very cryptic statement in the Gemara. Lech Vos L'Kusach, Potter Ben Chala. We know everything except we know nothing about this. We have no idea what it is and we have no idea why it's Potter. So half the Rishon Rashi is learning that it means it was never baked, and the reason why it's potter is, like any other thing that wasn't baked, is potter. Rabbi Natan clearly could never afford it. That's a Tosfos Kasha. It's impossible for Rabbi Natan to say that. And therefore, Rabbi Natan had to, in a sense, come up with some other creative case, what it is, and some other creative reason. So the Ritva saved the day by telling us that Lech Vos L'Kusach is Kipshutai, that it means it was made for the person of Kusach. What's the potter? The potter is a Chisor in Achila. We challenged the Ritva. How did he know that? Well, I got it from the Sugya of Isis HaKlovim. Rashi, who did not learn Yisaklov in that way, the Shitasu could ever work like this Ridva. So we said that the Rashi, who learned Yisaklov as being a different tour, a poter in the Shem Lechem, that has no impact on Lechem Asa Lekusach of the Ridva and the Rebbeinu Tam. But then we went to challenge Rishon and said, well, wait a second, who should be right? If in the same Mishnah, the Mishnah talks about being poter, not being able to be yet in Matzah, doesn't that point in one direction? He said, no, not necessarily. Either Rishon could learn Pshat in this Mishnah. But then we said, wait a second, maybe we're going up down in the wrong road. Maybe there's a whole other reason why you're not yet in Matzah. And that's the Rambam. That's where we left. So hopefully that's next week. We'll pick up from this Rambam the significance of this of the Shittas Rambam. Okay? Actually, I really have to run. I'm going to get married.